Turn in your Bibles, please, with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and I'd like to read as my text beginning at verse 7 through verse 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For someone they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. We thank you, our Father, that you have spoken, and we know that all scripture is given by your inspiration. And I pray today, this very day, that you would move in our midst and speak to our hearts. And as it's already been said, if there's one here that has never truly been born again, may this be the day that they turn to Christ as Lord and Savior. Honor your word in our midst in Christ's name. Amen. A key word in the text is the word today. The word is found in verse 7, verse 13, and verse 15. It's also found in chapter 4, verse 7, and again in Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The writer strives to prove the superiority of Jesus, and he does so by saying he's in the world today, unchanging and eternal. He's the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Now, George Mueller is known as the praying man of Bristol, England. He is called the father of the fatherless because he opened up many orphanages around the world. There in Bristol and around that area while he was living, he had founded five orphanages that took care of more than 2,000 boys and girls. And on his desk, there was a plaque that said, and today, Jesus is the same and today. And that man of faith and prayer not only founded an orphanage there, but he and his wife were missionaries and traveled the world over. And he was a man who lived by faith, believing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can be accepted in him and be a partaker of the heavenly calling. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let me begin by saying today the Holy Spirit is working. In verse 7, it says, today if you'll hear his voice. The third person of the Holy Trinity is in the world today. Today he's moving. He's moving through the church and through his bride with power and authority. Jesus said in the upper room before going back to his Father and before going to the cross, he said, it is expedient for you. It's profitable. It's to your advantage that I go away. I will pray the Father, And he'll send another comforter. Another means just like me. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He will convict you of sin if there's sin in your life. Today he's speaking. He's speaking to the saints. He's striving with the sinners. Christian, don't grieve him. Sinner, don't resist him. He'll teach the saint. He'll touch the heart of the sinner. There's coming a day, however, when the Holy Spirit will be taken out of this world. He'll be removed as suddenly as he came. He came on the day of Pentecost with a mighty rushing wind and filled the place and the church. When the church is raptured in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet sound, that quickly, the Spirit will be taken with the church. Then the Antichrist will appear. Right now, evil's in the world, but it's going to be unbearable when Antichrist comes, and we know that he will appear when the Spirit of God is removed. But I want to remind you, today is the day of grace. Today the door is opened. Today the Son of God can set you free. The Holy Spirit will not always strive with man. It's limited his work to today. Today is the only time you're guaranteed of salvation. Today is a day of temptation, it says in verse 8. The writer refers to the day of temptation in the wilderness, but this present evil world is a place of temptation. This world is a place of lust. All that's in the world, John said, is lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. Every man is drawn into temptation through lust. The world is fallen under sin and temptation, and it's common to all. Someone said this, we are not all tempted alike, but we are all tempted. All people are tempted. All manner of temptation falls to man. God does not tempt man. Satan is a tempter. He walks about seeking whom he might devour, and we must not be ignorant of his devices. I like the way Martin Luther dealt with the enemy when he came in temptation. Martin Luther said that he would allow Jesus to answer the door. And when Satan saw those nail-pierced hands in the work of Calvary and the blood, he would flee. And our victory is in Jesus. Let him be the one. If we're going to be victorious, we must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We must be fully clothed, completely clothed with the armor of God. From the tip of our toes to the crown of our head, we must wear the garment of salvation. We must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put on our feet the gospel of salvation, so that we're ready to take this gospel to everyone. And we're to put the helmet on. The helmet of salvation means we're to guard our thinking. Satan attacked Job physically, but he'll attack you mentally. He'll shoot a fiery dart into your thinking and mess it up unless you take the helmet of salvation. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we must lift up the shield of faith and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and do as Jesus said. We must be ready to say, it is written, it is written, it is written, Satan. How did Job overcome the attack of the enemy? Well, he tells us. In Job 23:12, he says, I esteem the words of your mouth more necessary than food. And the way to be victorious is to take the sword of the Spirit. Jesus said, abide in me, and my word abide in you, and ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. So we must be fully clothed from head to the foot with the word of God. Thirdly, we're to guard our heart. The word heart appears in the Bible 1,000 times. Mostly it refers to the inner person. It says, for an example, in Ephesians 3:14, that Christ dwells in our heart. Not the physical heart, but our inner being. He dwells in our heart by faith. The word heart is mentioned four times in my text, verse 8, verse 10, verse 12, verse 15. It talks about erring in your heart, the evil heart, the hard heart. You see, the erring heart leads to an evil heart, and an evil heart leads to a hard heart. And our hearts need to be opened, as Lydia's was. It must be open to the Lord. He stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And if any man will hear and open, he says, I will come in. We need to open our heart to light and truth and righteousness. It must never be closed. Our unceasing prayer ought to be, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The natural condition of the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and only God can know it, and only God can cleanse it, and only God can take our heart and make it pure. We must never allow our heart to be hard or dry or calloused. We must never be so foolish as to trust our heart. Proverbs 28:26 says that he that trusts his own heart is a fool. Our heart must always be open. And graciously, we're allowed access, as we're graciously allowed access to the throne of God, we ought to allow God, as a mutual friend, access to our heart. And allow him to search our heart. The Bible talks about the candle of the Lord. Allow him to search our heart. The number one killer for years, and I don't know whether it's there in 2020 or not, the number one killer in America is heart disease, arteriosclerosis, the hardening of the heart, the arteries. Man's spiritual problem, however, is also heart problem. Warren Wiersbe put it this way, the heart of the problem is the heart. The prophet Hosea said that, speaking, that gray hairs appear here and there, and the people were not aware of it. Now, the physical body ages. There's no stopping this process. But the soul must never allow to age or harden or wither. Never must there be a graying of our soul. Jesus said, except you become converted and become as little children, you're not even going to go to heaven. We're to be childlike in our soul. Even if you live to be 100, in your soul you're to be childlike, not childish. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Don't act like a child, but be childlike. When you stop growing, decay sets in, and you're in trouble. Today we're to exhort others. Verse 13 says, exhort one another daily. Or exhort them today. We must never be a stumbling stone to others. We ought to be a stepping stone. We're to help others, encourage others. The Bible says we're to speak often one to another. We're to support and be kind. We're to warn people. This word really, exhort, is not a firm sounding. It sounds firm, but it's not really that firm. In fact, the Greek word exhort means parakletos. It means to come alongside. It means to console. It means to encourage. It means to comfort. It means to aid help. When we exhort one another, it's to be done in a helpful manner. In Hebrews 10:25, we read that we're to exhort one another daily as we get close to the Lord's day. We're to be in God's house. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States of America, attended the Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. every Sunday. He was a born-again child of God. If he wouldn't be there because he was out of town or business, he would write a letter, a note, and say, I can't be here, or I wasn't here. This is the reason I wasn't here. We're to be the salt and the light of the world. We're to win others to Christ. We're to be kind one to another. Everybody has a problem. I don't want to add to that problem. I want to bear a burden. I don't want to be a burden. I want to come alongside you and encourage you and help you in every possible way. I don't want to be a burden. I want to help carry your burdens. We live in a depressed world. I can sympathize with the poor man who went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, I'm ready to end it all. I have nothing to live for anymore." And the doctor said, "Listen, you haven't paid for your house yet. Your car, you haven't paid for it yet. Your furniture's not paid for. And you haven't paid for this visit. What do you mean you don't have anything to live for?" Well, we live in a depressed world. We're to exhort one another and help one another. Today, fifthly, let us draw near to God. Verse 12 says, "Take heed, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The believer has two positions in his relationship to God. He's either drawing near to God or he's drifting and departing from God. There's no neutral. There's no intermediate ground. There's no standing still. As soldiers of Christ, we're to advance forward. We must set our affections on things above, set our face like a flint toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're to lay aside every weight that would hinder us or beset us, and we're to look unto Jesus. Christian, are you drifting or are you drawing nigh to God? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And in the King James, that word violence means the violent take it. They seize it as a prize. The kingdom of heaven is taken by force. Today, we need to forcefully draw near to God. Today, we should learn from the past. Someone said history teaches us this, that we don't learn from history. Israel's history is recorded in Hebrews and throughout the New Testament. It was recorded that we might not follow their example of unbelief. Their history was written to inspire in the inspired word of God. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:6 that they were our examples, that we should not lust after things that they lusted after. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness, and the Christian life is a life of learning. We're to be learning. We're to learn from everything. Jesus said, "Come unto me and learn." And Paul mildly rebuked the church at Ephesus that left their first love. He rebuked him by saying, "Why do you live the way you're living? You've not so learned Christ. The things which were written afore," Paul said, "were written for our learning." Every experience should be a learning experience. How to live or how not to live. And Paul said, as we get to the last days, people will ever be learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I look at all the stuff that's out there in our universities and colleges and higher learning. They're learning, 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 but can't arrive at truth. You can't arrive at truth when you put God and the scripture out of your mind and out of the classroom. There's no way to arrive at truth. Let us not be ignorant. Let us learn. Today, let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Today, we should be learning. And today, I want to say to you, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 through 19, then in verse 7, it says that we've all sinned. There was a day when we believed not. We had a heart of unbelief. But today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice, God has spoken. He has spoken by the prophets. Now he has spoken by the Son. And today he speaks by his Spirit. Read it in verse 7, verse 13, and verse 15 of our text. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken in the fat of rams. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Today, if you hear his voice, today is the acceptable day. Today is the day of salvation. The famous painter Steinberg painted on a canvas, is simply titled Christ on the Cross. It was a picture of our Lord's agony and suffering and shame, a masterpiece. And this artist was not yet a believer. He allowed a little gypsy girl to come into his studio and ask him questions. And she said one day, "Mr. Steinberg, he must have been an awful, awful man to have been nailed to a cross like that." And the painter said, "Contrarywise, no, he was the best man that ever lived. He didn't die for his sins. He died for us." And the little girl looked at the painter and said, "Sir, did he die for you?" And he said, for the first time in his life, he was under conviction. Christ died for him. Today is a day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice. The rich farmer had abundance, and he laid it up, and he said, "Now take thine ease, eat, drink, and soul, you have much." And God said, "This night, thou fool, it's over. Today is the only day you have. You may never see the morning light. Today is the accepted time." I read of a man who was thinking about joining a church and becoming a follower. And he said to the pastor, "I just can't accept your position on election. And I just can't understand it, and I don't accept it." So the minister sent one of the old church members to visit the man. And this is what he said. He said, "My dear brother, this is a very easy thing to understand in the church. You see, it's like this. There's a lot of voting going on. God's always voting for you. And the devil's always voting against you. And you have the deciding vote. Whichever way you vote, that's the way the election goes. I believe that salvation is for whosoever. Whosoever will turn and look and repent, he shall be saved." You've got to vote. You've got the deciding vote. Have you cast your vote? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you acknowledged yourself a sinner? Have you turned from your sin? Have you received Christ personally as your Savior? If you haven't, today is the accepted time. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of pardon and redemption. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in your house with your people. But we pray for that one person who perhaps is not a believer today. May they come just as they are. May they look to you. And Father, as your children, may we put on and be fully clothed with the armor of God. May we resist the devil. May we go out with the gospel to the lost and the erring and take the gospel to them. Our Father, have your way in the closing moments of our service. Be glorified in our midst. In your Son's name I pray.